through all of these years, my porn use is starting to increase because the tension and the pressure and the emotional unmanageability, the more I feel that, the more I'm starting to use pornography to manage that. So my behavior is becoming more risky. In addition, I'm now starting to have fantasies about what my life would look like maybe without you and the kids. What would my life look like if I lived on my own? What would my life look like maybe if I was a porn performer? Because I have inundated myself so much to this point with pornography, I started wondering if I could do that. All kinds of thoughts. And it was in about year 20 where things took a really dark turn.
Has your marriage been shattered by sexual betrayal? Are you wondering if it's possible to save your marriage? Or even if you want to?
Your story matters, and there is hope for your marriage through Christ Jesus. Welcome to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. I'm Johnny.
I'm Emily.
And friends, we've been where you are.
Our marriage vows were shattered by adultery fueled by pornography. But through commitment to recovery, our faith in God, and our hope for redemption, we set out on a journey of healing. Now our marriage is better than we ever could have imagined, and we give God all the glory.
On our show, we'll talk through difficult topics, infidelity, porn addiction, recovery, and more. So if you're ready to move from pain-filled todays into hope-filled tomorrows, grab your favorite beverage and spend a little time with us.
Marriage is redeemed.
Hearts renewed.
On Beyond Broken Vows podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Beyond Broken Vows podcast. We are your hosts, Johnny and Emily Spiegelmeyer.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Emily, it has been so good as we have been working through this little mini series that we're doing on experiencing sex with a sex addict and what that's going to look like in the future, being sexual during recovery as well. Thank you so much for being so vulnerable last week. You were so brave and courageous to share some personal things. I know that because I get an insider view to it, but I also get a courtside seat, so to speak, to the aftermath as well. And some of that felt a little heavy and you were hesitant to keep it there while you're editing.
It's hard to be vulnerable like that, especially in a public forum. And yeah, it did leave me feeling very exposed, and I had to really pray through that. But I decided to keep it in because I want God to be able to use whatever my story is, all the brokenness that's included in it, that it might help somebody else. If it helps just one person, then it's worth it.
That's really good, because you and I were just talking about that this morning as we're putting my story together. If one husband can come out of his darkness of secrets and pornography use or whatever it is that he's not sharing with his wife, and if one wife can be clued in to what might be going on behind the scenes that she's unaware of, then it's worth it. It's worth the discomfort of vulnerability. This was an experience that you had.
Yes.
I know what was going on inside of my life for all of those years, but you had no clue.
I had no clue, and you actually didn't even understand the effects of what you were doing. And we're going to hear more about that today as Johnny shares his side of the story with us.
Yes, Emily, and you're so right. Man, I just want to ask you this question. Are you spending a lot of time looking at pornography? Perhaps even hours each day for your own sexual satisfaction, only to find that it isn't as satisfying as you thought. Are you going back for more? Are you involved in a relationship, be it emotional or physical, with someone who is not your wife? Are you feeling out of control and don't know how to stop? I was addicted to pornography from the time that I was 8 years old, using the images to masturbate in order to manage my emotions during difficult times. When that wasn't enough, I turned to fantasy and ultimately to sexual relationships outside of my marriage. Eventually, I was discovered during my last adulterous relationship, and my life and marriage came crashing down. The devastation that my destructive choices and behaviors caused brought betrayal and brokenness to my wife and family. I then came to believe that I was a sex addict, and I needed help to set my life and marriage right again. I found a recovery program and gained freedom from my addictive sexual behaviors once and for all. I want you to know that you don't have to go back to pornography or any other destructive sexual behaviors to find emotional manageability and self-satisfaction. I've been pornography-free for 5 years now. My marriage has been restored, and my life is better than it ever has been before. I want you to come right now to coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com and see if my coaching program is the help that you have been looking for. Again, that's coaching.beyondbrokenvows.com. Let's do this together.
Thank you, Johnny. Your story is so powerful. You were where so many men are right now, and you found freedom from porn and sex addiction through the redemptive work of Jesus and a whole lot of hard work on your part. So I want to ask the husbands listening a few questions today. Men, do you have a secret relationship with pornography and or others outside of your marriage? Are you consumed by your thought life and hiding things from your wife that you don't want her to know? Is sex with your wife becoming challenging, difficult, or just too much effort? Do you feel misunderstood? Are you afraid that if she knew everything about you, she would leave you? Last week, I shared my perspective on our sexual relationship through the years up until Discovery Day and Disclosure Day, when Johnny came clean of all of his secrets. I didn't know what I didn't know, which made this area of our life progressively challenging. Today, Johnny is going to share how he viewed our sex life, not knowing he was an addict, but knowing he was hiding secret sin from me. So, Johnny, we're going to go ahead and cover those three time periods again, just like last week. The early years, which is years 1 through 5, the middle years, which are 6 through 15, and then the later years, 16 through 31. But before we get started, Johnny, would you open us in prayer?
Yes, I'm going to do that. Father, thank you so much for this time that we get to spend together. We pray, Father, that your grace and mercy would cover us as I tell my story.
Yes.
It's as vulnerable and transparent as I know how to be, and can be a little shocking, because it's a little shocking to me at times when saying these things. But Father, that's where you come in. You are our comforter in our time of need. And we pray, Father, that as we go through this, that those who need to hear the words that are coming out of our mouth, that they would remember that this is your story being told through us to those you are trying to reach. So we ask again for the grace of God that comes through Jesus to be with us as I share my story today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Johnny. So let's go ahead and dive into those early years. What did our sex life look like from your perspective in those early years?
My perspective on our sex life in that first 5 years was that it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I was head over heels in love with you. And I was learning how to be like mature sexually and grown up sexually, and not the way that I was when I was a teenager with the young girls, where we're just trying to do whatever it is we think we know we're supposed to do and get done quickly before we get caught. With you and I, it was purposeful, it was connective, and it was just you and I together. What a special time that was, as we were just learning each other. And those will always be fond memories of my life. One thing I wanted to say is that going into marriage during our dating and engagement period, I did let you know that I had looked at pornography when I was a kid, and that I had found it when I was younger.
Right.
And so you weren't unaware of pornography in my history, and you chose to marry me anyway. But in this first 5 year period, I was able to put all that aside because I have a brand new wife, and you are knockout beautiful. And I have a new relationship with my Lord Jesus that just started right around the same time. So I don't need pornography, and I am riding a high at this point. So I'm able to maintain pornography sobriety for the next 4 years.
And during those 4 years, like I had mentioned, you were in the Navy and away at sea a lot. And you had shared with me that there was some Christian persecution that you were experiencing, in addition to pornography being accessible everywhere, just in your face.
Yes, that is true. The Christian persecution came in the form of that I was the token Christian in the group that I worked with, and they made it their mission to corrupt me by trying to get me to use foul language or going into foreign ports, threatening to get me drunk and slip me into a prostitute, or hazing me just because they were unhappy with the fact that I was a Christian. I was not an outgoing, boisterous Christian where I was preaching everywhere I went. I was not really like that, but I let everybody know that I was a believer and that Jesus led and directed my life. And that didn't sit well with those folks. But when I was out to sea, there was a lot of insecurity starting to grow in me about being away from you. Because while I'm on ship, I'm hearing a lot about what the wives do when the men are gone.
Mm.
But while these men are telling stories about what the wives do, they're completely ignoring the truth that some of these same guys are removing the wedding rings from their finger when we pull away from our main port so that their wedding ring shadow disappears before we hit our first foreign port. So there was just a lot of insecurity starting to grow around that. But in those first years, I just kept focused on the fact that I knew that you loved me and that we were connected. And one of the greatest ways that I can think of right now to express how connected you and I were is that when I was in the Navy on ship during one of my detachments, there was another sailor that I was talking with in the chow hall, and he was telling me he had gotten his girlfriend pregnant and they were trying to figure out how to get the baby aborted. Mm. And I had looked straight at him and said, please don't do that. Please ask your girlfriend, if you're not going to keep the baby, please carry it to term and my wife and I will adopt that baby. When I got back home from that particular detachment and I shared that with you, your first question to me was, did you tell him we would adopt the baby? And that was so affirming to me that I was able to know that about you, that I could make that choice for us,
yes,
knowing that you would be in agreement. But one thing that was really important for me in that is that it was really the first time that I, as your husband, spoke for you.
Mm-hmm.
I made a decision for you without your knowledge.
Uh-huh. Right.
And but I felt confident in doing that. And when you expressed that to me, you affirmed that confidence that it was good and rightly placed. So that's the kind of closeness that you and I shared. We knew these things about each other. You knew things about me, and you would send me things out the ship, like beautiful pictures of yourself so that I could always have you to look at. And then the chocolate, mint chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah.
That you would send out, I think one time sent 5 dozen to me. Uh-huh. And most of them made it intact. Some of them, there's a lot of crumbs in the bottom of the bag. But just knowing that about each other. Then there was the letter writing.
Yes.
You and I were exchanging letters in those years. So many of them on a daily basis that we needed to number them so that we wouldn't get them out of order.
Because the mail service was pretty slow from yes. ship to shore.
Yes, absolutely. Just to put that back into reference from today, where things move much more quickly, it took 10 days for handwritten letters to go from shore to ship. But to go back from ship to shore, it took 15 days. So your response to something that I said to you in a letter could take 25 days or more before I got the answer to it.
Yeah, that was challenging too.
Yeah.
But oh, yeah, I remember those letters. And we still have all of those letters in a box on the shelf. And we've actually pulled those down a few times over the years to read through them, and just some really great memories.
Yes. Unfortunately, toward the end of my military tour, under the tremendous pressure and the temptation that was around me and my growing insecurity, I once again started looking at pornography and doing it secretly, even doing my best to hide it from my shipmates, sneaking it out from wherever it was that they laid it down and trying to pretend like I wasn't doing that. But most importantly, when I would get back home, I was hiding it from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the worst parts of our life began.
Right.
Was not telling you about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, Johnny, that brings us to the next part of our life, the middle years, 6 to 15 years, where we are raising kids and starting our own businesses. We're homeschooling and just very busy. A lot of distractions and a lot of just being tired and not able to focus on our relationship as much as we had before kids. So go ahead and share with us your perspective on our sex life during those years, knowing that you were now using pornography again.
When we got home from the military, we had to temporarily move in with my parents until we could find a place of our own, get settled, and we brought our newborn son with us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the three of us back in the house with my mom and dad. And I was looking for a job during that time. It was taking a while for me to land a job. And during that time, I had started using the same pornography that my dad had stashed that I had used when I was a child. That whole stack of magazines was still there. And I was feeling horrible about it. And I made the choice to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go well. You were noticeably hurt, angry, defensive, and all rightfully so. But I didn't take it well. I took it more as a personal attack, and we did make the choice to work it all out, and we even sought the counsel of the pastor that married us 5 years prior. But what I learned internally from that event was to not tell you anything like that anymore.
Yeah, I know that my reaction to what you told me caused you to want to hide it from then on.
It did, and it was just because of a personal pain I was feeling inside. Acting more like a child than an adult. It's not that I intended to continue to use pornography. I just knew that it's not good to tell you stuff like that. So I did continue to use pornography during those years while we're raising our family. And I would sneak it wherever I could find it and just keep it hidden from you and not tell you about it. And there were a couple of times in that period as well that you found out about it. We, again, kept it in-house and worked it through.
Right.
And
I thought we worked it through.
Yes.
We worked through the crisis of the moment, but it didn't fix anything.
That's correct. And I'm so glad that you brought it up that way, because what you were not seeing is that I was learning how to be a better criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's how I got caught this time. And each time, as we have spoken about before, in the addiction cycle, there's never an intention to wanting to go back to it. I really want to stop. But because now I'm caught in it, I end up back in it because of preoccupation and fantasy and ritualization and stress in my life and not knowing how to manage my emotions. So I end up going back to it. Each time that you and I addressed the issue, I believed I would stop. But I found quickly that I was powerless to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And some effects that were happening as a result of that is that I was no longer able to hold out very long for you sexually. This is a premature ejaculation we're talking about.
Yeah.
But for the sake of our conversation, we'll use the term short shooting. And that was happening a lot because I was training myself to get in and get out quickly. So my brain was trained toward this. My emotion was trained toward it. And I was not leaving any room for sexual satisfaction on your part.
Mm-hmm.
And as you had expressed in your story, you were increasingly starting to sense distance from me. And sexually, you were not satisfied, even to the point where you were starting to feel like something was wrong with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought maybe it was a medical issue or the sexual trauma from my childhood. You were very kind and gracious to me about those possibilities, but you never refuted that it was my issue.
That's correct. And I would say from my side of the equation, it wasn't because I was trying to impugn you in order to take the heat off of me. It's just that I didn't understand the impact that I was making. I didn't fully understand what I was causing. I just thought things weren't going well because we have a growing distance because of the busyness of raising family. Ministry is starting to increase. I'm getting more involved in ministry as well. Just so much going on. It's easy to be distant and just place it there and leave it and just say, oh, we're just busy. We'll find time to ourselves and we'll make it up then, which we did. We loved to go on vacation together, you and I. We would frequently go on vacation together and not take our kids. And we would let them know that this is what we do in order for us to be the best parents to them possible.
We had to recharge our marriage to be good parents.
And oftentimes on those vacations, we did do a lot of work between you and I. We did a lot of talking. We read books and we got very close. But with that being as good as it was, I was still not sharing with you what was going on with me in the background. Through all of these years, my porn use is starting to increase because the tension and the pressure and the emotional unmanageability. The more I feel that, the more I'm starting to use pornography to manage that.
Right. So that brings us to the later years of our marriage, honey. Years 16 through 31. And those were high ministry years for you. You were getting more involved in ministry, biker ministry. And our kids were growing up and out. By the end of that time period, we were empty nesters. So from your perspective, what did our sex life look like during those later years?
As we move into these later years, my porn use is starting to increase, but it's limited by access. But in these same years, I get my first smartphone with a data plan.
Yeah.
Which means it isn't going to take long until I figure out that I can access pornography on my phone pretty much wherever I can find a private place to do it, time alone. And then, of course, I learned how to erase history so that if you looked at my phone, you wouldn't find it. So my behavior is becoming more risky. In addition, I'm now starting to have fantasies about what my life would look like maybe without you and the kids. What would my life look like if I lived on my own? What would my life look like maybe if I was a porn performer? Because I have inundated myself so much to this point with pornography, I started wondering if I could do that. All kinds of thoughts. And it was in about year 20 where things took a really dark turn. In that year, two major things happened. The first one was I had made the decision that you were not emotionally safe for me. You were asking questions and you were poking into my life and trying to get to some truth because things weren't adding up in your head. You couldn't connect with me anymore. And you were sensing the distance that you described in your story by making that decision that you were not emotionally safe for me. I erected a wall between you and me, an emotional wall, because you were getting too close to the things that really hurt me. You were about to discover me.
Right.
And I was going to have to come clean on everything. And by deeming you to not be safe for me, I also justified it by the dark secrets that I'm holding you couldn't handle, is where those first thoughts began. And the second thing that happened in year 20 was I had my first adulterous relationship with another woman.
Do you think that was a direct result from the fact that you did create that wall between us emotionally?
Absolutely. I think that when I deemed you emotionally unsafe for me, in a way, I divorced you. That's pretty dramatic. And as we've talked before, I can use dramatic and outlandish language, but sometimes we have to go there in order to really get a good picture. So yes, I do believe that one begat the other, and that because I distanced myself from you emotionally, purposefully, it left me wide open for a relationship with another woman. And it was within just a couple of months, 2 to 3 months, that I did that. And so now I'm officially an all-grown-up adulterer, because in the minds of lots of folks, oh, it's just pornography. Who does it hurt? Other than the one who's using it, if they're even thinking that direction, not thinking about that my continuing pornography use is distancing me from you and from my family and from those who are important to me.
And we have talked about that on a previous episode, episode 16, about the effect of porn and how it's viewed by the world, but how it really does affect relationships.
There's another factor that's going on in these years too. You started your health coaching with a company that you represented with, and you were having great success. And I had a lot of fear with that. You'd always been a high achiever, and I had always felt inadequate to you from the time that we met. I tried to put that aside because of my love for you and my desire to be the best husband for you and father to my children that I knew how to be, while holding dark secrets in the background. I'm perceiving more insecurities on my part, fearful of your success rather than genuine happiness for your success. So self-centered on my part. But then that's starting to create even a greater chasm in our sexual life together, to the point where it just got easier to be other places. I could be somewhere else in my mind and in my heart with pornography. It was easy to go get that hit of dopamine that my body was looking for. It was easier to do it through pornography than to get that through relating and connecting with you. Mm-hmm. That was getting too difficult.
Right.
Too much work for the payoff. And it became easier to get involved with other women. Because the whole idea of being in these adulterous relationships is that it's sex-based. It's not relationally based at all. And it's much easier to be sexual with them than it is for you. So as you expressed that toward the end, that even for me, not being sexual with you was actually preferred. Why? Because I was getting all my sexual needs met somewhere else already, and relating with you was just getting too difficult.
Although what we discovered later is that you put a lot of effort into being able to use pornography or be with other women. It took a lot of planning and a lot of time, and was a lot of effort put into those experiences, which you could have been pouring into your wife.
Right.
That is one of the trappings of pornography. You think you're getting something cheap and easy, but it's really stealing your soul.
Emily, you couldn't have said it better. I was giving away my soul day by day, every time I used, and I did that over a 25-year period of our marriage. So yes, it was taking its toll on me, and it was turning me into a person that I never intended to be. I was truly, by this time, right before discovery, leading a double life, believing that I could live a good, upright life as a family man, a good husband, and a ministry leader, all the while carrying on a sexual relationship with another woman, using pornography, fantasizing about almost every woman I looked at, and masturbating. All of that in play, and I believed that I could manage it all. I'm so grateful that God said, nope, you can't.
Yeah.
In those later years, my behavior became more erratic, and I became riskier with my sexual expressions outside of marriage, like where I was meeting my final partner, or as much pornography that I was using. I was up to using two devices at the same time, a laptop and my phone. And even right up to that very last week before discovery, you were gone on vacation with your girlfriends, and I binged for 5 days straight and just absolutely wrecked myself and left myself with a couple of days buffer, because this is the ritualization. It's how it works. I planned a buffer of a couple of days so that I could try to become normal again before you came home and not suspect anything.
Yes, which is the last time that you did ever view pornography.
That's correct.
Well done, honey.
Thank you.
So once again, we are at the end of a show where the tenor of our show is a little bit bleak. It's not a pretty story. It does start out very happy and bright, but as the years go by, that insidious attack of the enemy through pornography is destroying our marriage.
Yes. And as we tell the story, and it starts happy and it ends bleak, this is the way stories with pornography involve end. They all start wonderfully. Married couples, they believe that they can make it, and they're having great, wonderful times in the beginning, and then it starts to degrade. And the wives don't know why most of the time. The husbands do know why. They just don't understand the implication and the impact of their activities.
So we always want to end our show with a word from the Lord. And when we do end up on a note that's not very uplifting, we want to go to the Word to find something that we can grasp onto. So Johnny found something from the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. Honey, would you read that for us?
Yes. And because it comes out of Proverbs chapter 5, this is Solomon speaking wisdom to a theoretical son about doing things the wise way. And here's what he says. Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs in the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves. Never share it with strangers. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Don't ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. Why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a prostitute or dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? Mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you. You will find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end.
That's not very uplifting, is it?
No, it's not. But here's the hope. When we listen to the instructions of others who are telling us to not take our wives for granted, to not look elsewhere for sexual satisfaction, we find great wisdom, and there's happiness inside of that. We men, many times in our lives, are given opportunities to turn away from our sexual acting out, from our use of pornography, or from a relationship with a woman that's not our wife. We need to learn this sooner in our life rather than later. And when we listen to words of wisdom from folks who have gone there ahead of us, who are warning us of it, we'll find ourselves better for it.
Yes. And the reason Solomon is giving this warning is because he understands that God has created sex between a husband and wife to be all that is needed. There isn't any need to go outside of that to get all the beauty and satisfaction that you need.
Emily, you are so right when you say that. God did make everything that we need to be satisfied within our own marriage. So as we close up our discussion today, would you close us in prayer?
Yes, I would love to. Dear Father in heaven, you are amazing. You have created something so beautiful and precious between a husband and wife that I don't think we can even fathom what you've intended for it. We can only really scratch the surface of the beauty and the mystery of sexual union between a husband and wife. But we thank you for giving us this gift. We thank you that it's a safe and protected place in a covenant marriage. And we also thank you that when we mess up and we go outside of our marriage, that you don't condemn us. You lovingly pick us up, dust us off, and help us get on the right path. Father, thank you for this mercy and this grace that you show us time and time again as we struggle in this life to figure things out. So, Lord, I just pray that you would be with our listeners today, that if anyone is struggling in this area in their marriage, that you would intervene, that you would make a way for them to come out of the shadows and into the light so that they can experience the freedom and the joy of a blessed union in marriage. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Emily, thank you so much for praying for us. And before we leave today, we have a couple of things that we want to encourage you in. So men, the best way to get out of the trappings of pornography is to let your wife in. It's going to be painful and difficult for both sides, but this is the true way to come out of this by bringing it from darkness into light. She may leave you, and she would have cause to. But then again, maybe she won't, and she may end up your greatest ally. These are the same fears I had with Emily. But regardless of what she chooses, you'll have the chance to be free from the shame that comes from being wrapped up in pornography and the guilt that comes from your actions. Don't underestimate your wife. Our wives are beautiful women and extremely strong, especially when they're strong in the Lord.
So now we've each shared our own perspectives on being sexual in a marriage that was tainted by pornography use and sex addiction. Thank you so much for listening. Please come back next week as we bring the hope of redemption and share with you what our sexual relationship looks like now as we walk out recovery and are fully known by each other.
So until next time,
marriage is redeemed,
hearts renewed on Beyond Broken Vows podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. And before you go, if this podcast encouraged you and you're feeling some hope for today, please share this show with someone else you know who is going through a similar situation and needs to know that they're not alone. One of the best ways that you can help us reach more people is to leave us a 5-star written review on Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. And as always, we would love to hear from you with questions and comments. Just email us at support@beyondbrokenvows.com. As you walk out this journey one day at a time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.